Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
On 2UA, George and Paul's Crime File.
And this morning, it's the man who shot Arthur Cornwell.
If someone hadn't have tried to kill him, it would be fair comment to say that the name of Arthur Cornwell wouldn't be all that familiar with a lot of our younger listeners. That's a fair comment, I would think. But someone did try to kill Mr. Cornwell, who, at the time, was the leader of the Federal Labor Opposition Party. And it was the first time in our history to that time that such an outrage had taken place. The closest similar incident would hardly be described as political, being the attempted assassination of Queen Victoria's second son, Prince Alfred, at a picnic at Sydney's Clontarf Beach in 1868 during a visit to Australia. And so, almost 100 years later, on the chilly evening of Tuesday, the 21st of June, 1966, a crowd of 800 of the Labor faithful squeezed into the Mossman Town Hall on Sydney's North Shore and rose as one to applaud Mr. Cornwell as he ambled down the aisle, stopping to shake hands and kiss the ladies, as is the age-old tradition of such rallies to hear their leader speak. And they weren't disappointed. Arthur Cornwell, the Australian-born son of an Irish policeman, was a much-loved leader and a wonderful orator who, at 70, had risen from the working-class environment of Melbourne's industrial suburbs to become one of the most honest and respected men ever in the labour movement. Mr. Cornwell had been the Minister for Immigration from 1945 to 1949 and was the mastermind behind Australia's key post-war immigration policy. Now, as the leader of the federal opposition and with the despised Liberal Prime Minister Bob Menzies retired, Arthur Cornwell could see his ambitions realised at the next election and become Australia's first Labor Prime Minister since Ben Chifley in 1949. And the tough old campaigner was doing it in the style he owned, only the style he knew best, by going to the people and shaking their hands and kissing them on the cheeks and talking to them as he was doing that night in Mossman. And they loved him for it. Earlier that day, a man with equal ambition but with a far less work ethic was planning on killing someone of importance so he would be remembered throughout history. He was not a terrorist or a fanatical Liberal supporter. In fact, he knew little of politics and even less of the man who was on the front pages of the papers and seemed very important and was giving a public talk that evening. In fact, 19-year-old Peter Cocan, an inconspicuous, fair-haired, bespeckled loner, didn't really care who he killed that night, as long as it got him on the front pages of the papers. He wanted to become just as famous as the person he had murdered. In his twisted mind, Cocan thought that then, after he was famous, people would look at his poetry and prose in a different light. During that day, Peter Cocan cleaned his .22 rifle, the butt of which he had cut down and had sawn off the barrel, so it wasn't much bigger than a handgun and would fit comfortably into his belt and wouldn't be seen. So he would create history and be as famous as Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who killed President Kennedy in Dallas. Peter Cocan could hardly wait. In his long overcoat to keep out the evening chill, Peter Cocan looked just like any other spectator as he waited out the front of the Mossman Town Hall for the speech to finish and for Mr. Cornwell to come out to his car and be driven away. Security wasn't a problem. There wasn't any. nothing like there is these days. No security guards or police and no minders anywhere in sight. Peter Kokan hoped he would recognise his target as, having never actually seen Mr. Caldwell in person, he was only familiar with his face from the newspapers and the posters in the local shop windows advertising the rally. It was a face that was not easily forgotten. Craggy and weather-beaten from his years in the political trenches and with a huge nose and lantern jaw, Arthur Caldwell wouldn't be mistaken. He was a political cartoonist's dream. His antagonists had likened him to a parrot and given him the nickname Cocky. Remember Cocky Caldwell?
Yeah, old Cocky Caldwell.
Yeah. There would be no mistaking old Cocky Caldwell. The prolonged applause and cheering told Kokan that the time was near. After much handshaking and embracing as he made his way down the aisle, Arthur Caldwell eventually emerged to the front door accompanied by Senator Doug McClelland. Mr. Caldwell paused several times and it was obvious by his elation that he could see himself as the first Labor Prime Minister in 17 years, but not if Peter Kokan had anything to do with it. As Mr. Caldwell brushed by so close that he could have touched him, Peter Kokan reached under his coat for the gun, but in an instant the Labor leader was completely surrounded by supporters and a shot was impossible. As Mr. Caldwell was ushered into the front seat of his waiting car and closed the door, the opportunity to murder him presented itself. Peter Kokan aimed directly at Mr. Caldwell's head through the glass and fired a shot at point-blank range. "Oh, I've been shot," Mr. Caldwell cried as blood sprayed all over what was left of the shattered window and he slumped into his chauffeur's lap. But it would take more than a bullet to kill Labor's old warhorse. Miraculously, the low-velocity projectile fired through the thick glass, but it had missed the vital parts and lodged itself in the famous chin that had been the source of much mirth for cartoonists for donkey's years. Peter Kokan dropped his gun and fled, but was captured a few short yards away. Mr. Caldwell was admitted to the North Shore Hospital and treated for superficial wounds to the face. The people of Australia woke the following morning to the news of the attempted assassination of the leader of the federal opposition. They chanted as one, "Who on earth would want to kill Arthur Caldwell?" Peter Kokan was deemed by psychiatrists to be mentally disturbed but not insane, and at his trial he was sentenced to life imprisonment, unlike his fellow assassin of 98 years earlier, Henry James O'Farrell, who was tried and hanged within 2 weeks of attempting to murder Prince Alfred. They certainly had justice in those days, didn't they, George?
Didn't muck around.
They didn't muck around. They tried the previous bloke and hanged him within a couple of weeks for attempted murder. Mr. Caldwell was present at Kokan's trial and made it clear that he bore no malice and consoled Peter Kokan's broken-hearted mother outside the court. That was just absolutely magnificent, what Arthur Caldwell did. I can recall the photos in the paper. Peter Kokan's mother was just devastated, absolutely devastated, and Arthur Caldwell embraced her and tried to comfort her as best she could, and this is the bloke that had tried to kill him. During the 10 years he spent in the Morisset Maximum Security Mental Facility and in prison, Peter Kokan expressed deep remorse for what he had done and had a book of poetry and 2 novels published. Arthur Caldwell visited Kokan in the mental hospital and encouraged his rehabilitation, further evidence of what a decent sort of man he was. Mr. Caldwell was soundly beaten in the 1966 federal election by Bob Menzies' replacement, Harold Holt, and retired as Labor leader a year later in 1967 and died in 1973. On 24th of November 2010, 63-year-old Peter Kokan won the $50,000 Australian Council Writers Emeritus Award in recognition of his exceptional contribution to Australian writing. Australia Council Literature Board Chairman Professor Dennis Haskell hailed Kokan as one of Australia's most gifted writers, but acknowledged that despite four powerful novels, five collections of poetry, awards and acclaim, he is still associated with his criminal past.
Yeah.
It seems that no matter how much he is recognised for his writing, Peter Kokan will always be remembered for his moment of madness.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.